In the book of Revelation. Anybody doesn't have a copy of the notes? Anybody need some notes? Okay. We are in Revelation chapter 6 this morning. Revelation chapter 6. And let's bow in a word of prayer before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning. And Father, we thank you that as we gather as a body of believers, and from our study in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we understand that the Lord is in the midst of his churches, and we then believe, based on the scripture, that you're here with us today. And Father, we would pray that you would speak to our hearts today from your word. Might the Holy Spirit make the scriptures real and plain to us. And might the word of God have a real impact in our hearts and lives, we pray. Help us, we walk the road of life, we would keep our eyes heavenward. And obviously, we live in a real world where we are confronted by challenges and all kinds of things every day. But Lord, help us not to lose focus of our great God who has everything in his control. And you're working out your will, plan, and purpose for your glory. And we praise and thank you for that today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we begin reading this morning, when you look at the book of Revelation, from chapters 4 to chapters 19, it's difficult because things are not written in chronological order. It switches back and forth from earth to heaven, and then the events that are recorded in the book of Revelation, they jump back and forth also to the first half of the tribulation period, to the second half, and just goes back and forth all the time. So it makes it a little bit difficult. And so when we begin our message this morning from Revelation chapter 6, we are beginning to look at the judgments of God. It might be kind of hard as you look at these judgments. You think God might be kind of harsh. God might be too strong in how he judges this world and how this is now in the tribulation period, how he is judging this world. The reason that God is absolutely justified in, I don't know how to say it other than the hard judgments that he brings on planet Earth, is this. We live in a world where basically God has been rejected by man. And as a consequence of that rejection and that rebellion, there comes a time of judgment. There's a time of judgment here, now in this life, as well as throughout eternity for those who are lost. And having said that, let me mention another thing. When we look at these judgments, a Bible-believing Christian has nothing to fear when we look at these judgments. Amen? Because as Bible-believing Christians, we won't be here. The judgments that are coming, like I just said, are coming on a rebellious world that has rejected God and rejected Christ. So let's begin to read then. with Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, the seventh seal is opened, the first seal. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So let's notice a couple of things from this rider on the white horse. he is actually the Antichrist. And he has a bow, but no arrows. Now that's quite significant. And how will he conquer with his bow, but no arrows? Well, we have in the notes that he's going to use lies and deception to conquer and rule over all the world. Imagine this Antichrist person being able to use lies and deception to conquer man. How is that possible? How is it possible? How is it that lies seem so believable, and you take the truth of the Word of God, and for so many people, that doesn't seem believable? How is that? I'm reminded of the verse that says this from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Because man is willfully blinded, willfully rejects the Word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a consequence, the only other option is man turns to lies. Since the beginning of time, going back to Genesis chapter 3, the devil has used lies to deceive people. It should be so obvious, especially to us, that these lies have a horrendous consequence on mankind. What's at stake is the souls, the never dying, the eternal souls of people. When a person is deceived, he is lost throughout the endless ages of eternity, and will, as a consequence, will spend an eternity in the devil's hell. Why is it that the truth seems so unbelievable to so many people? I just gave you the answer a minute ago. Because the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So when we come to this place in Revelation chapter 6 and the judgments that are going to fall on this earth, they are falling on a people that have willfully rejected God's plan of salvation, willfully rejected God's Christ. And as a consequence, they leave themselves nothing except the awful judgments of God. Let's drop down to verse number 3, bottom of page 1. Read the notes in between when you get home. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So the red horse goes out, and the rider has a great sword. So this being is going to take peace from the earth. Well, you say, that looks like pretty much where we live now. Peace is taken from the earth. Remember what the Bible says? There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And as I've just said, a Christ-rejecting world, a Christ-rejecting person will never know the glorious peace that God has to give. And so under this second seal judgment, people will kill each other. I don't know about you, but isn't that something? How do you comprehend people killing each other? What is that? How can a person become so wicked and so depraved that people will just kill each other? You see so much of that in our world today. I guess the answer is in John 10:10, as we have in the text. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what the devil is very busy doing, obviously. So let's drop down to the third seal. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil in the wine." So the black horse symbolizes suffering and death. A black horse will introduce a time of great famine on planet Earth. A measure of wheat for a penny, and a penny represented a day's wages, and a penny would buy enough wheat to make one meal for one person or three meals for one person. So you can see that the world is going to be facing a very difficult time under this black horse. Famine will be worldwide. Kind of interesting. It's kind of sad. I don't know. I don't want to talk too much about the news. But people in our day are so wicked. People who are leaders in our world are so wicked. Purposely creating famine. I've mentioned before, and you know this, there's enough land on planet Earth to feed everybody. Everybody can have sufficient food all of the time. But the God of this world is doing his best to disrupt God's gracious provisions. On the bottom of page 2, you find we have another reference to verse number 6, that there be no oil, that there be no money for the oil and the wine. So my thought after verse 6 is this: be sure you don't miss the rapture. You won't miss it if you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior and rest in the love and care of our gracious God. Don't miss the rapture. The Bible has never said when the rapture will take place. It would be interesting to know that, but the Bible has never left it so that we know that. As Bible-believing Christians, we are taught to believe in the imminent return of Christ, which means what? Christ could come back at any time. Christ could come back today. And if Christ comes back today and the rapture takes place today, the judgments from the book of Revelation will follow shortly after, and the Antichrist will show up, and you'll have the 7-year tribulation period beginning. You don't want to be there, because the judgments we are looking at will be played out in that 7-year tribulation period. And if you ever think anything is awful now, you haven't seen anything awful compared to what's coming in the 7-year tribulation period. How important it is to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Have put your faith in the tremendous love God displayed for mankind on Calvary and for the glorious salvation God made possible. Remember at Calvary, God the Father laid your sin debt and mine on his beloved Son, and he bled and died on the cross for you and me so that we might know the riches of the glory of this beautiful salvation that God has provided in the person of Christ. What a tragedy for people to say no to the gospel. And every person who has said no in this lifetime will experience the judgment of God on them. Those who are alive in the tribulation period will experience 7 years of judgment then and judgment throughout the endless ages of eternity. The consequences of rejecting the gospel are unbelievably horrendous. How important it is to be saved and for you and I to represent Christ and the gospel to the people of this generation. Bottom of page 2 of our notes, we begin reading with verse number 7 of Revelation chapter 6. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. So the pale horse. More very bad news for the inhabitants on planet Earth. The rider of this horse is called Death, and hell followed him. Under the judgments of this pale horse, 25% of the world's population will die as a result of the judgments at this particular time. Planet Earth now has a little over 8 billion people on it. That means 2 billion people are going to die in this judgment. In Canada, that means 10 million people will die in this judgment. I've got the wrong number there. I got 85,000 for London, Ontario. Should be 112,000. Pardon my mistake there. I didn't think that. I had a glitch here, obviously. I didn't see that until last night going over the notes. A city like St. Thomas, 10,000 people dying in St. Thomas. Okay, so what are we saying? Could you imagine the time when 25% of the people on planet Earth are going to die in judgments? What an awful time. It's generally believed that this fourth seal will take place in the second half of the tribulation period. Now, let me drop down again. First, animals may become killers. That's the definition of the word beast that are mentioned in the passage we just read. And there's a second interpretation of that Walvoord gives. Let me read his quote. Another view is that this term is a reference to brutal military and political leaders in the end times. This view is based on the fact that the same phrase, wild beast, which in the Greek is therion, is used 38 times in Revelation, and every other time it refers to the coming Antichrist or his henchmen and the false prophet. So it would seem if we're going to be consistent in our interpretation, the beasts mentioned in the verses we just read are wicked leaders that are out to destroy mankind. Now, it's hard for a Christian to comprehend the degree of wickedness that a human being is capable of. Now, I gave you several examples there. The world in World War II under Hitler, they killed and incinerated 6 million Jews. Now, think about that. How wicked and how depraved could a man become that he could hate a people group so badly to exterminate 6 million of them in World War II? Another example, how about MAID that killed 15,000 people in Canada in 2023? The highest assisted suicide rate of any country in the world is Canada. Did you know that? Isn't that disgusting? 15,000 people in Canada died by assisted suicide given to them, promoted by whoever in our country. Another example, the World Economic Forum want to get rid of all people over 70. They refer to them as useless eaters. How about that if you're over 70? The World Economic Forum is no friend of yours. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, Cain killed his brother Abel. Since then, the devil has succeeded in filling men's hearts with hate and murder. A quote from Walvoord at the top of page 4. The world never seems to be short of madmen bent on mass murder and conquest. The darkness of the human hour is in very sharp contrast to the bright hope of the imminent return of Christ for his church as an event preceding the time of trouble. So who offers a solution to hate, violence, and murder? Jesus, the Christ, the glorious gospel. What did it cost God to offer hope to man? Now, I understand, you understand, I'm repeating myself. Now, this is the third reference we'll make to the gospel this morning. What did it cost God to redeem sinful man, to offer you hope and help and an eternal home in the very presence of God forever? What did it cost God? It cost him his only begotten Son. So let's go back to our notes. As we proceed, remember what we read at the beginning of the book, what we read at the beginning of the book. Remember this now. We started the first message in this series, Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. At the beginning of Revelation, God makes that statement. The book of Revelation needs to be read, needs to be studied. You say, just a minute, if it was like some of the Psalms, yes, but it's a book from chapter 6 through chapter 19, it's full of judgments and all kind of horrific things happening to mankind. God said, blessed is he that reads and understands what's happening in this world and what's going to happen to mankind in the future. Back to our notes in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now this scene moves from earth to heaven. Remember what we said just a few minutes ago from Revelation chapter 6 and following? The scene shifts back and forth between earth and heaven. Here we have a reference now. We just had four seals broken on earth. Now we have the fifth seal, and an event in heaven is being opened to us. Now, how is this scene moving forward? John sees the souls of the people who were killed for their faith by the Antichrist in the tribulation period. So, point being made, as we've already mentioned numerous times in this study, in the tribulation period, there will be 144,000 Jewish evangelists. There will be two prophets that God uses. And they will evangelize the world in the tribulation period that every tribe and nation will hear the gospel and have the opportunity to turn to Christ. But in the tribulation period, there'll be a price attached to becoming a Christian. And many, many of them will be martyred for their faith in Christ. So we're reading about them here in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. So in verse number 10, these martyrs from the tribulation period are asked a question of the Lord. Now notice they're asking the Lord a question. How long will it be before you avenge our blood and judgment on those who have killed us for our faith in Christ? Lord, what are you waiting for? Let the hammer down on them. They tortured us. They brutally murdered us. How long, Lord, before you judge them? Verse 11, the Lord's reply. First thing mentioned, verse number 11, how the Lord responds to their question. They were given white robes. They are safe and secure in the very presence of God in heaven. So that being in place, the second point made. They should rest yet a little season. Take it easy, guys. Take it easy. Just wait. Rest a little season. Third point. In God's divine plan, there are still more men and women to be killed for their faith in the tribulation period. Bible believers would be sacrificed like lambs. I want you to think about that for a second. In the New Testament, Jesus is portrayed as the shepherd of the sheep. Who are the sheep? We as Bible-believing Christians are the sheep. What were sheep used for in the New Testament? Well, go back to the time of Christ. Back up, rather. What were sheep used for? They were given as sacrificial beings or sacrificial animals to be sacrificed in the temple. What is it when a Bible-believing Christian is persecuted and dies for his faith today? He is sacrificed again today like a lamb. In the tribulation period, there will be countless millions of people, probably, we don't know the number, of course, sacrificed like lambs. All through New Testament history, Bible-believing Christians were sacrificed. And this very day, today, in parts of the world, people are being killed for their faith in Christ. Happens every day in our world. May God help us as God's people to remember to pray for those who are suffering. The second point being made on the top of verse 5, God would pass judgment on the wicked persecutors of his dear children at the end of the tribulation period. And then many of them in the tribulation period die for the faith in Christ. We've already mentioned that, verse 11. The question could be asked, what kind of bodies do these martyrs have? The answer is a body that is suitable to be clothed in a white robe. And when Christ returns in Revelation chapter 19, they will receive their resurrection bodies. God graciously takes care of everything. Let's move on in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun was became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens and rocks and the mountains. Now listen what they said in verse 16. And they said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And remember, we're taking a literal approach to interpreting the book of Revelation. Remember, we established that at the beginning. We're taking a literal approach. And unless a passage would indicate otherwise, we'll keep on doing that, obviously. So look at a comment by Wolverd at the bottom of page 5. Beginning with the sixth seal, God is undertaking a direct intervention in human affairs. The judgment described here, however, originates in God as a divine punishment inflicted on a blasphemous world. So what happens in the sixth seal? First of all, a great earthquake, and we'll comment on that a little more in just a minute. Secondly, the sun becomes black. I want you to picture that for a minute. Earthquakes we have. We're not familiar with them too much where we live. But we've seen in the past what earthquakes have done. But the second thing, the sun becomes black. What would happen when the sun becomes black and there's no light? We'll comment on that a little bit more when we look at a passage in Exodus in a few minutes. But what a horrendous time on earth. The moon becomes the third thing the Lord says, the moon will become as blood. The fourth thing, the stars of heaven fell on the earth. How many of you have seen that video that was made, the Blue Planet or whatever it was called back a number of years ago? Anybody see that? Okay. When you look at that video, how big is earth in the big picture? Man. Our earth looks like this little round thing, and a lot of these stars and everything, they're so huge. What on earth, this little planet that we live on, if some stars fall and hit our little planet, what on earth is that going to be like? One of the judgments that'll be played out in the tribulation period. A fifth thing, the heavens depart as a scroll. And the sixth thing, mountains and islands are moved out of their places. Some commentators don't believe that this is to be taken literally. They believe it to represent kings and kingdoms of earth. I just put that in there because that's what some people think and say. Help yourself. I want to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 to 9 at this point, and look at what the Apostle Paul wrote as to some of the judgments that were coming, apart from the book of Revelation, but alluding to the very things that John is writing about in the book of Revelation. So let's look at 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So who's Paul writing to? A Thessalonian group of believers, or from Thessalonica. And what are they experiencing? Persecutions and tribulations, and they're enduring those. We could ask the question, how come we in Canada, how come we have lived all of my lifetime? I was born in 1940. All of my lifetime, we have endured hard things, yes, because of the gospel, yes, but physical persecution and what you would describe as tribulation has not come to us here in this country. We've been protected by God, I guess. And maybe it's because maybe we haven't been too bold in speaking out for our faith in Christ. I hope and pray God finds us faithful to the end of the journey. And all through the New Testament and through 2,000 years of church history, Bible-believing Christians in many countries of the world have experienced horrendous persecution because they were bold for Christ, representing him no matter what the cost, standing for Christ. So these Thessalonian believers, may God help us to be the same. Might I add at this point, let your light shine for Christ. Don't be timid. Don't be afraid. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, who are you? You are a child of the living God. You are a joint heir with Christ. And God saved you so that you might represent him in the day and hour in which we live. You are precious and important in the eyes of God, yes. And as you and I stand up for Christ, we will encounter opposition and persecution, especially going forward from here. Which reminds me of something just read a week or so ago. Do you know Mr. Trudeau had planned for us churches here in Canada? That we were all going to lose our charitable status if we did not promote their position on abortion. Okay? Could we promote our position, their position on abortion? Impossible. There was legislation on the table to be passed in the session of parliament they were just in. But because of all the events that happened, everything that he had on the books that they were processing, that all gets pushed under the rug, fortunately. And hopefully he ends up under the rug. And we have a new prime minister that has a little more intelligence and cares more about the people of Canada than he did. Let's move on, verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Notice verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God, here's what God will do. He will recompense, or he will pay with tribulation those who trouble or persecute God's people. God's keeping track, you know. Verse 7. And you who are troubled, rest with us. Isn't that an interesting statement? What did we just read back in verse number 4? That they were living in persecution and tribulation. And what does the Apostle Paul, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, say now in verse 7? You who are troubled, rest with us. Rest in the omnipotent and gracious, loving care of God the Father and God the Son. Can I remind you of John chapter 10? As a Bible-believing Christian, as being a sheep of the Great Shepherd, in John chapter 10, whose hand are you in? You're in hand of God the Father and God the Son. And those are omnipotent hands. And as Bible-believing Christians, you can rest in that position that you have in Christ. Let this wicked world do whatever they want. Let them. And even if you are persecuted and die, I almost said, who cares? It doesn't matter. Remember your position. Rest in your position. Whatever comes your way to the end of the journey, never forget whose hand, as a Bible-believing Christian, you're in. You're in good hands. You're in God's hand. You are safe and secure in the most... Man, how do you describe God's hand? How are you going to describe the power of God? Who on earth could hinder you when you're in God's hand? There's nothing ever going to come to you and me in God's hand. If persecution should come, if physical persecution should come, if jail time should come, or whatever should come, remember, you're in God's hand, amen? You're in God's hand. You don't have anything to worry about. And remember what we just read? God is going to bring retribution on those who punish you if they persecute you as a Bible-believing Christian. God's going to take care of them. He's got their number. He knows where they live. Verse 7. And you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, notice, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Well, verse 8 and 9 are quite a challenge, are they not? Are you getting the picture that God doesn't play around? And when we read the judgments in Revelation chapter 6 so far, and the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, making these statements in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it a serious matter, this presentation of the gospel and the receiving of the truth of the gospel? Is it a serious matter? Man, how much more serious could the Word of God make it? What will all the people on planet Earth have to recognize at this point? After reading 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9, they'll have to recognize this, that there is a sovereign, omnipotent God in heaven who's ruling over all. You know what's kind of laughable but very sad? How many people in our day make fun of, reject the Word of God and the gospel of Christ? How many? The majority. They can laugh now. They can make fun of this old book now. They can mock it, ridicule it, reject it, despise it, and throw it away, burn it, or do whatever. They can do it now. But the God who gave this book knows where they live. He's going to knock on their door one day. And there are consequences to rejecting the gospel of Christ and the Word of God. Top of page 7, we ask the question, I wonder how the media will report this, when we just think of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, or Revelation chapter 6, if there's any of them left in that day. Most of the media is so wicked and so corrupt. I think they'll be going through all the stuff that we're talking about here, should the Lord come soon in our lifetime. Let's go back to some of the thoughts from Revelation 6, verse number 12. Imagine an earthquake so great that mountains are shaken down. That's what's going to happen, Revelation chapter 6. Can you imagine a mountain becoming flat? Such an earthquake? What happens when the sun goes black for a few days? Remember how the sun went black in Egypt for 3 days? Exodus chapter 10, verse 21. The darkness was so thick it could be felt. Can you imagine what it'll be like? You turn on the light switch, it'll be so black, your light won't do anything. Light won't shine through the blackness. Take the best flashlight, turn the headlights on your car. No light will be visible. The blackness will be so thick in this day of judgment. Exceedingly frightful time. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. The text doesn't say how long this darkness will last. And then at home, read Isaiah chapter 13, verses 6 to 13 in the notes on page 7. Let's move to page 8 of our notes. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 15, the unbelieving world seeks refuge from the wrath of the Lamb. How about that? The judgments that are being played out in Revelation chapter 6, nobody's going to wonder where they're coming from. Nobody is going to be rejecting God now. Nobody's going to be saying to the Christian, hey, where's your God? When the judgments from Revelation chapter 6 begin, there are going to be such judgments that everybody knows there's a God in heaven. And this God in heaven is beginning to reveal his awesome power and judgments on those of us who are on planet Earth because we mocked and rejected his glorious truth. We chose our own way. We lived our own life. We lived for this world. We lived for self-gratification. We had life our way. Yeah, you did. But there's coming a day when that's not going to be worth a thing. And notice again what they do in Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. They seek refuge from the wrath of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you know what's so good? When Jesus came the first time, he came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Amen? That's why he came. This time, when he comes in the book of Revelation in judgment, he's coming as the Lamb that pours out his wrath. He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And judgment is falling on a Christ-rejecting world. In looking at the news this last week, what a disaster man is in, countries are in. What a disaster. May God help us to see that this world and the philosophies of this world lead to nothing but anarchy and bankruptcy. This world has nothing. Christ has all we need, all we need. Look at verse 16 that we have in our notes on page number 8. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There's coming a day when mankind will recognize there's a God in heaven, and he's bringing judgment on the people on planet Earth. Interesting point that people on Earth will want to hide when God begins to pour out his wrath. But you notice, they won't be able to hide. They'll want to die We'll see in a judgment coming in the next 1 or 2 weeks. Can't remember which Sunday it's coming up. There's a judgment coming. People will want to die. They'll try to die. They'll try if they could only die and escape God's judgment. But God doesn't let them die. How sad. A Christ-rejecting world. Middle of page 8 in our notes, seems like there's always a force at work to overthrow governments. Communism grew by overthrowing governments to about to the point now where they rule over about a third of the world. Islam grew to a place where they control 57 countries of the world. The CIA of the U.S. has worked to overthrow governments to install leaders that were friendly to do their bidding. The UN is trying to control the world. Globalists are working to try and control the world. Everybody's trying to control the world. Guess what? They'll never make it. Christ will control one day. He'll control. There will be peace on earth one day when Christ comes, but not till then. May God help us to so live for Christ our Lord and Savior that we might be a light and have a testimony to the people of this generation. What can you do to keep a friend or a neighbor from experiencing the wrath of God being poured out on planet Earth? What can you do? The most important thing you can do is present the gospel to people, to faithfully represent Christ to the people, and pray for and actually plead with people to come to Christ, because He is their only hope. May God add His blessing to His word. Our Father, we thank You this morning for the presence.